April 1941, in the barren Libyan desert, Field Marshal Erwin Rommel, one of Nazi Germany's most celebrated and feared commanders, prepares to unleash his Africa Corps in a bid to capture the heavily fortified town of Tobruk. After only 2 short months, Rommel had made stunning ground in North Africa, pushing back the British and Commonwealth forces from the town of Mersa Brega right back to the Egyptian border. His lightning-fast and bold offensives had already earned him the nickname the Desert Fox. Occupying this strategic town and standing in Rommel's way were the rats of Tobruk, half-trained and half-equipped men of the newly formed 9th Australian Division. Trapped hundreds of miles behind enemy lines, the garrison was under the command of Major General Sir Leslie Morshead. Affectionately named Ming the Merciless by his men, the Australian was a brilliant strategist. In talking to his men, Morshead famously said, "There will be no Dunkirk here. If we should have to get out, we shall fight our way out. There is to be no surrender and no retreat." The stage was set for what Rommel and the Germans believed would be another straightforward and swift offensive to capture the vital town of Tobruk. Yet, what Rommel and his Africa Corps forces didn't know was that Morshead and the men of the Australian 9th Division were waiting to spring the trap on what will go down in history as one of the most genius tactics of the war, inflicting on the all-conquering German forces their first defeat of World War II. But why was Morshead's tactics so ingenious? And if this town, with its vital port, was so important to the Allied forces, why was it garrisoned by the half-trained and half-equipped men of the newly formed 9th Australian Division? To find out, we first need to understand why the Allies were holding Tobruk in the first place. January 1941, Australian troops, as part of the Allied Western Desert Force, engaged in their first major land battle of World War II. Men of the 6th Division's 2nd Australian Imperial Force launched a fierce assault on Italian forces. In just 2 days, they captured the Libyan town of Bardia. By January 21st and 22nd, the Australians had advanced west along the Libyan coast and captured the strategic town of Tobruk. Tobruk was a vital strategic location during World War II for several key reasons. It was one of the few deep water ports along the North African coast capable of accommodating large military and supply ships. Tobruk also sat along the main coastal road that linked Egypt to the rest of North Africa. This road, known as the Via Balbia, was the primary route used by military forces to move men, vehicles, and supplies. Additionally, Egypt, and more specifically, the Suez Canal, was of immense strategic importance during World War II. The canal was a key artery for British and Allied shipping, connecting Europe to the Middle East and Asia. Control of Tobruk allowed the Allies to protect the canal from a westward Axis advance. For the Axis, capturing Tobruk would have brought them one step closer to Egypt and the Suez Canal, threatening Britain's global supply lines and access to oil from the Middle East. After capturing Tobruk, British forces, including the men of the 6th Australian Division, continued their push westward, sweeping aside the Italian occupiers and making it as far as Benghazi and beyond. Even though they were much smaller in numbers, with less than 40,000 men, the Allied forces managed to defeat the much larger Italian force, taking control of the northern coastline of Libya and capturing approximately 130,000 Italian troops. With the Italians suffering heavy losses and in some cases giving up key positions too easily, in early February, Hitler sent one of his best generals, Field Marshal Erwin Rommel, along with his Afrika Korps to support his Italian allies and, importantly, prevent a complete collapse of the Axis forces in North Africa. British intelligence had intercepted messages between German High Command and Rommel indicating that the bulk of his Africa Corps, along with vital equipment, would be arriving in dribs and drabs over the course of a couple of months, and that he was to hold off any further British attacks. This gave British commanders confidence that Rommel's initial presence would be defensive only, and led to their decision to reduce their forces in North Africa, transferring their desert-experienced fighters, including the Australian 6th Division, to Greece. In early March, the first units of the 9th Division arrived in Libya. After delays to their training in Australia and England, it was believed that they had time to complete this in Libya before Rommel went on the offensive. Additionally, short of equipment such as machine guns, mortars, anti-tank guns, and carriers, most of the division's artillery and cavalry units did not accompany the infantry brigades to Libya at this time. Meanwhile, Rommel and his men, initially subordinate to the Italian theater commander General Italo Garibaldi, ignored strict orders to defend only and went on the attack. Over the course of 2 months, Rommel had the British forces, including the newly arrived 9th Division, completely on the run. With his famous blitzkrieg tactics, Rommel's forces quickly captured the towns of Merseburger and Agadabia. With their eastern flank now exposed to being cut off, the Allied forces had to relinquish Benghazi in fear of being encircled by the German forces and captured. This initiated a rapid retreat back to the towns of Mechili and Derna. However, the Germans were using field radar that allowed them to track the moves of the Allies and quickly continue to push around in an attempt to outflank them. Before long, Rommel had captured the towns of Mechili and Derna. Each time his tanks broke through the Allied defensive lines, it triggered an almost immediate retreat by the occupying British forces in fear of being captured. With the assistance of rearguard action in Er Regima and Mechili, Morshead and his 9th Division were sent back to Tobruk and ordered to defend it. The defending forces, now under Morshead's command, being the 9th Australian Division, the newly arrived 18th Brigade of the 7th Australian Division, 4 regiments of British artillery, and the 3rd Indian Motor Brigade. By April 9th, Rommel had surrounded Tobruk on 3 sides, trapping the Australian defenders inside. Rommel's most advanced lines had reached the town of Sollum on the Egyptian border, but due to supply issues, had come to a grinding halt. Tripoli was the closest German-held port, some 870 miles away, forcing Rommel to bring his troops and supplies overland across the harsh desert to eastern Libya. With supply lines fully stretched, Rommel needed to turn his attention back to the town of Tobruk. With its deep water harbor, Rommel knew that taking control of Tobruk would pave the way for an Axis march toward Egypt and the Suez Canal, threatening Britain's lifeline to its empire. Rommel's plan was to employ his famous blitzkrieg tactics, striking quickly and decisively to break through the Allied defensive perimeter. This now familiar tactic had worked so well in the European theater and had already worked successfully in North Africa in retaking the towns of Agadabia, Mechili, and Derna. Once the tanks broke through the defenses, it was always the beginning of the end, with the Commonwealth forces' rapid retreat until Tobruk. Tobruk's defenses were established on the most part by the Italians over a 5-year period of their occupation. With the port in the center of the garrison, the defensive lines spanned out in a semicircle from the coast 8 miles east of the port to 9 miles west of the port. Tobruk was a formidable fortress, with its strength being that for an attacker, there was virtually no cover, with the perimeter being almost entirely flat. Morshead had instructed his men to reinforce the lines and dig in, waiting on the inevitable attack from the Germans. The blitzkrieg assault that up until this point in the war had never failed. But Morshead and his men were about to make history. a stroke of strategic genius from their commander, and a showing of sheer guts and nerve by the Australians in executing their plan. The German blitzkrieg attack is essentially to have the tanks break through the enemy defenses, pushing a deep armored thrust to get behind the enemy, and through the gap would pour the infantry, overwhelming the defending perimeter and causing complete chaos behind enemy lines. A tactic that until this point in the war, no other defending army had an answer for. Morshead, however, had a genius tactic never before seen by Rommel that caught the Germans by complete surprise. The first major assault came on the night of April 13th. The Australians laying low allowed the tanks through their lines into the perimeter. The tanks pushed on confident, their plan was proceeding as normal. However, this time, as the infantry appeared through the gap, the Australians engaged them with numbers, holding up the infantry, ignoring the tanks, and leaving them to advance without their support. The tanks now found themselves deep within the Australian defences, exposed and engaged on three sides by Australian guns, tanks, and air bombardment. This was the secret in Morshead's defence, a defence in depth, allowing the tanks behind initial defence lines, where artillery and tanks lay waiting for them. They were hit with everything the defenders had at their disposal. The QF-25 pounders at point-blank range were particularly devastating. Suffering heavy losses, the Germans were forced to retreat. Morshead's genius strategy and the grit of the defending forces proving that the all-conquering German blitzkrieg could be beaten. Over the course of the next few days, Rommel launched several further attacks. Each time, the Australians stood their ground and forced Rommel's men to retreat. On one occasion, the Australians counterattacked and captured a large portion of Rommel's Italian Trento division. Rommel had to accept defeat. Tobruk was a nut he could not crack. For the next 242 days, the Axis forces laid siege to Tobruk, with daily bombardment from ground artillery and air assaults. Being forced to dig in, propagandist for Germany, William Joyce, better known as Lord Haw-Haw, described the defenders as living like rats in their underground caves, mockingly labeling them rats of Tobruk. In typical Australian defiance, the men reclaimed the name as a symbol of pride. Morshead's genius was not limited to the repelling of the blitzkrieg attacks. On hearing about a British propaganda article titled, "Tobruk Can Take It," Morshead commented, "We're not here to take it, we're here to give it." The Australians were not content on defending only and sent regular patrols out into no man's land during the day to gather intelligence and raiding parties at night to attack the positions identified during the day. The Australians' aggressive use of snipers, artillery, and well-timed counterattacks caught Rommel's forces by surprise. The Axis troops soon grew to fear the relentless patrols of the Australian infantry, who dominated no man's land. Morshead's strategic genius and the grit and determination of the men of the Australian 9th and 7th Divisions had brought Rommel's offensive to an end. Originally ordered to defend for 8 weeks, Morshead and his men held Tobruk for 8 months, eventually being relieved by the British 6th Division in October 1941. Today, on a leafy tree-lined street in Victoria, Australia, not far from the Albert Park Grand Prix circuit, sits a relatively inconspicuous yet distinguished building. On it, there's a plaque that reads, "During World War II, more than 14,000 Australians fought at Tobruk, Libya, in the longest siege in British military history. For 242 days, surrounded by German and Italian forces, the men of the Tobruk garrison withstood tank attacks, artillery barrages, and daily bombings. Living like rats in dugouts and caves and relying heavily on mateship, they endured the Libyan desert's searing heat, bitterly cold nights, and hellish dust storms." Commander of the fortress, Major General Sir Leslie Morshead, ordered his troops, "There is to be no surrender and no retreat." They did not surrender and did not retreat, inflicting on the all-conquering German forces their first defeat of World War II. In doing so, they achieved lasting fame as the Rats of Tobruk. If you enjoyed this video, please remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Until next time.